This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
On the end is near. Bachelor Podcast, another season coming to a close for Bachelor in Paradise. My name's Ryan Jones, joined once again by Matt Munson. Hello, Matt.
I'm shot.
We finally got a week with only one episode, and they couldn't even do that in 2 hours. They forced us to watch 3 hours.
Be honest with you, I got a show on Tuesday nights that I watch at 10 o'clock, and I'm looking at my clock, like, you know, looking at my phone, this has got to be starting sometime soon. Then I'm like, no way, it's after 10. It was like 10:06, and they still hadn't gotten to all the couples. I don't even think at that point they'd gotten to JPJ.
No, it full first hour was basically all the fantasy suites and stuff. And then the slow drag of the after the final rose, where it was just one slow after another slow. They spread out the meaty parts for
sure. Yeah, the culmination of the whole thing was to find out what happens with JPJ and Tayshia. Then we get to Christian and Demi, and then we got the big announcement. I think all that happened after 10 o'clock.
Oh, easily. Cool, because Pete wasn't until 3 minutes before 11. I mean, They waited until like the very last, because it was even more Chris doing almost a wrap up. And we'll be right back with the new Bachelor. And I'm looking, it's 10:52 or 53. And then after you get back from commercials,
didn't expect
it. It was just a quick, hey, all right, how you doing? So you knew they weren't going to bring any of the girls out because they didn't have any time.
Right.
But what's at 10 o'clock on Tuesdays?
I was a huge Sons of Anarchy fan.
Oh, so the spinoff.
And now the spinoff, The Mayans, is on at 10 o'clock. It's not Sons of Anarchy, but it's reminiscent.
Well, sort of like Bachelorette isn't Bachelor, and Bachelor in Paradise isn't Bachelorette. Like, they're all different. They all have their same thing. Like, anytime you get a spinoff, Breaking Bad with Better Call Saul and That's Walking true. Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. You're always going to have, a little bit of the lifeblood, but it's a little different.
Yeah, there are actually some characters that cross over, so that's cool.
Like Bachelor Nation.
And that brings me to my point. I have to say, once and for all, after a few years of, one being on the show and then a few now of actually watching it, I think all that research and development has helped me come to the realization that there's nothing like BIP. I think BIP is hands down most entertaining. It's an emotional roller coaster for the viewer. It's a big investment.
I agree. This is the best of them. I don't always love, we've talked about it before, the 4 hours a week. But I understand it's summer. We got to jam everything in.
Right.
I get that. I would much rather be 2 hours and maybe stretch out over a couple more weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that you have all of these different relationships, I mean, even going into this finale, we have four couples that we're wondering about as opposed to Bachelor or Bachelorette, where there's obviously only the one.
Yeah.
And so I'm with you. I think this is something that, and I like Bachelor and Bachelorette, but
This is the show.
This is it.
And you're kind of really just, I mean, I'm sure there's some people who strongly disagree, but it's almost like you watch the other two shows, and it's like really just the minor leagues and who's going to be, who's going to make it out of the farm league to end up, having their real chance at love and their real chance at, like, character development. Let's face it, if you look at it in terms of that, watching a series, you barely get a sneak peek at most people. Majority. I mean, you have JPJ, you barely saw him at all. Now, you get almost OD on JPJ. But I mean, there's so many cases of that where you just get a little glimpse of some of these people. Take it from me, sometimes you barely get any of them at all, but then you go on, BIP, and now you really get to see what this person's all about.
Well, on Bachelor and Bachelorette, there's one person that we know. Mm-hmm. It's the Bachelor or the Bachelorette. Mm-hmm. On Bachelor in Paradise, we know virtually everyone.
Yeah,
there are some first night people that you sort of have to, let me quick Google. Who is this again? Yeah. Oh, right. They have different hair, whatever. But 90% of the people on this show, you already know and you're familiar
True.
With.
True.
And there's that, like you said, the farm league type feel. I like that comparison, even though I think ABC clearly likes the other franchises more.
Right.
Thus, they put them in the more valuable space.
Of course, yeah.
But this is, okay, who do we like? Who do we, let's build the whole team now instead of just the one person on the marquee. Now we're building up the whole team. And why I love Bachelor in Paradise. Well, reason number seven that I love it is that everyone, we know who it is. There's no like, do we have to see if there's anything in their past? What are we waiting for? Is there a shoe to drop? The people sort of are what they are at this point.
Yeah, and everybody's got their favorite who they were like, I liked him. That'll be great. They're like looking forward to seeing a little more of that person. And there's exceptions to every rule. It seems like everybody is sort of that much more into certain people. Like people last year were really and almost pissed off that they didn't see more of Grocery Store Joe. And then obviously,
which sort of
he
helped
him. Huge popularity on
VIP. Because think about it, with someone like Joe, let's say he stuck around for like 3 weeks and sort of had a ho-hum time there.
Right. Maybe which he was, very well could have been.
Could have been. Maybe he was dull. Maybe he just, maybe ended up, we've seen since that's not the case, but maybe he does some things that make you think he's a jerk. And then he never becomes Grocery Store Joe. He's just sort of, the guy that stuck around went on like one group date and whatever.
Yeah.
So in some cases, I do think it propels you.
Oh yeah. And, well, there's more intrigue,
right?
People are a little more curious.
Old Donald had that chance. If he wouldn't have been such a, or Matt Donald, excuse me, old Matt Donald wouldn't have been such a jerk. Then
he
had that opportunity.
I think that's what hurt him as compared to Joe, because like Joe is just a smooth, relatable, easygoing, no drama kind of guy. He doesn't jump off the page in terms of personality. He's just relatable, like I said. I mean,
but that might have fallen flat if he's in the Bachelor Mansion for a couple weeks.
If he pissed people off. But instead, he comes on to BIP, kind of keeps a low profile. He finds love, which is what most people really jump on board that.
Exactly.
The relationship.
Yeah, not just they're playing the game.
Nah, yeah, right. I think people fall for the guy who falls for the girl and has the girl fall for him more than anything else. They don't really fall for that person or quite as much as they do for the idea of, like, these two people, the stars align for them, and we get to now watch their journey unfold. That is sort of, I think, what the viewers tuning in for.
Yeah, and I think that is a great segue into Hannah and Dylan, who I think at least initially they're going to be that couple for this season.
Yeah, seems like
it. And it certainly wasn't a surprise all season long. Really, once they got past the Blake sort of drama, it was sort of boring. We never heard from them because it was just like, okay, yeah, they're over there, they're fine. And so they did go to the fantasy suites. They did get engaged, even though they tried to make it seem like Hannah didn't want to. And she even led her engagement portion with, you know, I'd really like you to meet my family, and I wish they were part of this. And Dylan jumped in to save it and said,
I'll jump on a plane right now.
Right now! And I was like, oh, this is smoother than we've seen from him.
Was she referring to her relationship with Colton? Like, was she saying my last relationship? Because I was trying to remember, how far did she make
it? She got far.
Does she get a hometown?
Yeah, wasn't she? Because I think she was one of the ones he broke up with to go chase after Cassie. Because he went on the overnight with Tayshia.
Yeah.
Then the second one was with Cassie. Mm-hmm. And then the show was over because he said, no, I'm done. And so Hannah was one of the people that he broke up with. So she had to have had a hometown.
I'm thinking she had a hometown. And that's what she was referring to. My parents got introduced to my last boyfriend from this.
Right.
In this format of relationships. And it was quick, it was subtle, and I went to them trying to sell them on the idea that, oh no, this is real, and then it blew up. So I think she was talking about that, her relationship
that would make
with
sense,
Cole,
yeah.
I think.
Well, she did talk about, you know, how going into this, she was very sort of, not standoffish, but just like, let's wait and see, because I got bit pretty bad last time.
Right, I think it was that relationship, but anyway.
But he answered perfectly by saying, I'll get on the plane right now.
Let's
go. And then was able, you know, that brought her back from wherever she was thinking, brought the ring out, Neil Lane, pay the bills, all good.
You can't overlook the fact that these guys, I mean, I don't know what those rings are worth.
Oh my God, I pick a number. Yeah. I mean, this is not cheap. And if you noticed, because I did, she was staring at the ring before she even answered. Because I think she wanted to actually get a full look at, okay, do I really want to get, is this good? Yep, okay, this is good enough. And then even as she's celebrating and didn't really fully say yes even though she did.
Well, he said it. He said, you got to say yes.
You got to say yes. And so she's hugging him, and while looking more at the ring than at him. Like
priorities, I guess.
But then they, after the final rose, they're still together. She moved to L.A.
She did, okay.
To be closer to him, but not move in with him, okay. Which is something that we're going to talk about here, which is a bit of a theme.
So he's from L.A.?
Apparently.
Oh, okay.
So they made it very clear, moved closer to me, not in together. So they're engaged, they're living separately, which is fine.
Yeah, right.
But I just find that interesting that you would uproot and move to be close to your fiance, but not move in with your fiance.
What are you insinuating?
Not even an insinuation.
Because we were just talking before we came on that, you know, we had a bunch of couples, so we can finish talking about these two and then pose the question. Because I am curious to know what your thoughts are on each couple that are engaged and whether or not that will be the case, say a year from now, say BIP, you know, next season when it rolls around. What are the remnants?
Right, because they want to bring back the couple, the successful couples, as like, see, this can work. And I'm not saying this is any indication. I just find it almost amusing that, and this is not just Hannah and Dylan, we'll talk about it, this is multiple people, that it's, you know, are we going to get engaged? After a month or so, you get engaged, and it has to be an engagement, but whoa, pump the brakes, let's not move in together.
Yeah.
Where there seems to be this overriding thought that, well, we have to be engaged or broken up. Like, why can't, and this goes back to, why can't you just leave together and in a relationship as opposed to being engaged? And you say, well, no, that you're there to look for that. I said, okay, fine, I'll bite.
Yeah,
say that's the reason. But then wouldn't you be in a hurry also to move in together?
You would think.
Well, that's too big of a step. Well, some would say engagement is a pretty big step.
Well, I mean, if you look at BIP as like just this huge tease of, you know, we get to spend this month together where we're with each other every moment, And now we don't know how we're going to live any other way. So we have to at least live together, right? You would think.
Apparently Hannah and Dylan do not.
Apparently not. But I guess this is just more of the same. We're seeing everybody create their own format for how this works post show.
Yeah, and I'm
so
okay.
That's fine.
I mean, listen.
But the natural order of things, I guess, you know, is just being sort of redesigned by everybody. They're doing things their own way. But yeah, I mean, the natural order of things, I feel like you would think, at the very least, if you're claim you're going to spend the rest of your life together, you would think that life would begin under the same roof.
Well, because that's the real test drive. People made the Colton jokes about how's he going to get engaged if he's never had sex with them or whatever. Please, that's the real sophomoric stuff, and that's relative to this, to being a reality show. The real test drive is living with someone together. Because you can be together for as many years as you want. The minute you're under the same roof, things are totally different, and you really see, okay, this can work, this can't work. Yeah. And I'm not saying they're not eventually going to move in together. And I think that's going to go to your point. A year from now, are Hannah and Dylan a success story or looking for love again? Matt, I will pose the question to you since it is your question. I will throw it back to you.
I mean, a year from now, I think it's tough to say.
Or like, I guess, 8 months or whatever, when they're filming the show and they bring out the success stories. Are they one of the couples there that say, guys, this can work?
I feel like no.
Ooh, okay. See, I feel like that's an upset.
I hate to be, you know, I'm not raining in their parade at all. I just, my opinion is, I'm leaning towards no, but it's a tight... You know, it's like just a slight majority of me wants to say
I'm pretty confident about these guys. I think they're, you know, we've talked about it a little bit before. I think they're sort of equally boring in a good way.
Yeah.
And
that's a good point.
And there's no reason why they can't continue that now being in LA. They seem legitimately into each other. And...
we'll have to revisit this,
of course. And this is one of the best parts of the second act of each of these shows is watching along and seeing, okay, oh, they haven't been together on Instagram for a while. You know, we did that during this year with Becca and Garrett when he didn't come to the wedding, and I was like, oh, he hasn't been in her Instagram
now
for
see more of them,
and they're fine. And it's just, but that's part of this sort of the game, if you will, is trying to track these guys.
No, I'm sort of split on it, but I mean. I'll be the devil's advocate and say no, but like, you're right. I mean, I want to say, well, they fell in love pretty quickly, and he was just so smitten, you know, when things started off, and it's a little bit of the JPJ thing where he almost didn't think he knew from the beginning that he was like somehow. Out of his league, you know?
Which is true. I mean, I think he is.
Yeah, probably.
Looks-wise, I don't know. I mean, again, personality-wise, I think they're about on the same level.
Well, that's what I mean. But and things are cool when you're just sort of boring in Mexico because every day is the same. But when you go out into the real world...
in L.A.
Face a little adversity, you know what I mean? Things come your way. Life gets busier. You know, you are this sort of like... you know, CD, maybe trending C-list celebrity couple.
I don't know. This show's pretty big now.
You might even be
like a B-minus at this point.
Could be B-minus.
If you're not a bachelor, bachelorette, but you're one of the people, that's like a solid, at least in the Bs somewhere.
Yeah, no, you're probably
right. This is a big show. I don't have to tell you.
Yeah, you're probably right. But you know, things just get... a little, you know, there are some distractions. Things get a little convoluted. I would like, and like you said, especially in LA. So, I don't know. I'm split. I'm down the middle, but I will, like I said, just play devil's advocate.
Well, the second strongest couple, if you will, from Bachelor in Paradise, Demi and Christian, also said yes to the fantasy suites. Also said yes to the proposal. And it was funny watching Demi. She was the one doing the proposing, and she didn't have any. pockets or anywhere to keep the ring. So she had to take a step over to the rose stand, and it was like hidden behind it. That's how she got the ring. I thought that was interesting. And then obviously, it was yes. After the final rose, Demi's still talking a lot about how, like, I don't deserve her. She's way too good for me, all this. But more in a, I think, appreciative way. Because the issue they had on the beach was it was more like a pushing away type thing. Whereas now they seem to be more on the same page. And so much so that Christian, at the end of the show, proposed to Demi. So this way they both got a proposal and they both got a nice Neil Lane ring. And
yeah.
This is another couple. I'll take the question this time. I think they're going to make it last. Maybe I'm being overly optimistic, two for two here, but I think they're going to. I think they're good.
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole time, it seemed like they were destined for one another. It was more just Demi, you know, feeling more and more comfortable and at ease with, you know, the idea of everybody in her life knowing that she was out. And I think, you know, the more and more she was just able to get comfortable with that, I think the better, the stronger, you know, the more her comfort level grew, the more the strength of their relationship grew. And they do seem to know who they are, each of them, which points to me towards a relationship that could last.
The thing with them is, like you said, they seemed like destined to be together, and it was right away, and my issue was never with any of that, and I'm happy to see that they're making it work. And I'll just say it again, I just didn't think they belonged on the show. Bringing people from outside of Paradise into Paradise, that's just, to me, not part of the show.
It was a little forced, I thought.
Yeah, but because I still think we could have gotten to where we ended up. Like, they could have went home, worked on it, and then come back to the finale and been engaged, would have worked for me.
I agree. I think it was for the good of the show. They were able to put them on the beach together and allow their audience to see that. We are open-minded here. We are, you know what
right.
I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely different in certain places, for sure.
Right.
And so maybe it's better they got to work some of that out on the beach, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, they did kind of go against the norms of the show, but I think it was good for everybody. It threw something different in there too.
And it was great for representation, because they have been so terrible about it. And I'm sure, while they would never probably admit that, I think off the record they'd be like, yeah, we get it.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have a lot of people of color. We don't have any representation.
Oh, I think off the record, yeah.
Yeah, like, we don't have any representation of anything but, oh, straight guy, straight girl, cool.
Yeah.
So huge step in the right direction. I just was like, let him go home and do that.
Figure it out there.
But yeah. I think a year from now, Demi has to go back to Paradise, but she's going to be with Christian, and it's going to say, hey, guys.
We're the bartenders now?
Oh, my God. Or even if it's just Demi is the bartender with Wells, and then Christian can, I mean, because they should still be together. But either way, whether they're in Paradise together or not.
You mean not on this? Yeah, you just mean coming back and being a success story.
Not.
But I could see Demi as the female bartender.
With Wells, let's do it. But yeah. I think they're going to be together. Again, maybe I'm overly optimistic. I'll say
together, just because I like their dynamic. I think that Christian is sort of like the anchoring element, or, you know, they're a nice balance.
Yes.
You were talking about, you know, the last two, and they're a little, both the same.
Yeah, this is not the case.
A little dry, like, yeah, one is sort of like, comes across, you know, one's a little more subtle, you know, one's a little more serious, and then the other one is really fun and lighthearted.
Like a hand grenade, basically.
Yeah, and I just think that combination, it's just a nice blend.
Yeah, they complement each other really well.
They do. Yeah, I guess that's what I'm getting at. And I'll say they're still together in a year.
And same theme here with Hannah and Dylan, because Demi moved to L.A. Uh-huh. to be closer to Christian, but not move in with Christian. Okay. So also two for two there.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
moving near each other, but not in with each other.
That's interesting. Yeah, you know, again, it sort of is a parallel with, you know, reality, and it draws a parallel between reality TV and the real world, because people are just doing things you know, however they see fit to do them.
Yeah,
that's the world we live
right,
in.
Right. It's definitely less of the, okay, I check this box, I check that box, yeah. I check that box, which, I mean, that's my life, so it's fine. and so as we get, we handled the easy ones. Now we get into the more difficult ones. Chris and Katie. The whole time.
Complicated.
Very. That's the perfect word for it.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about last week how it was. It's not just one person. Like the next couple we'll talk about. It wasn't just one person like, oh, it was always Clay. With this one with Chris and Katie, Katie's the one that's unsure. No, Chris is the one that's unsure. No, yeah. Katie's the one that...
But for the most part, when it, you know, when you look back at it, it was him.
Right.
Who it seemed like, it for her, it was like pulling teeth.
Yeah, but she's, you know? she was the first because I was like, oh, no, I'm fine if you go on the date. Why would you say that? But then, and maybe that escalated the way he acted, because he acted like a total douche at times, where he was just, I don't know.
Clueless.
Maybe, totally. Yeah. And, like, I mean, she's there, like, very point blank asking for something from him, and he just couldn't deliver. But once it looked like it was going to get pushed over the edge, he'd come back and be like, oh, no, no, we're cool. Never mind.
I mean, I think it points towards a trend, too, because you're usually seeing... And again, mirrors real life. The girl is looking for the guy to show that he cares. The girl is looking for the guy to commit, you know, verbalize that his feelings. And so it could have just been her testing him, seeing how legit his intentions were, kind of in my opinion. But, you know, with him, he's older. He's been through the ringer a little bit. You know, he keeps talking about how now he's officially retired. But, like, the show was a place, you know, for him to, like, come try to work out his relationship issues, and which we still see haunt him to this day. You know, I mean, it's difficult for him. Whatever, you know, is in his past that, you know, has led him to being kind of difficult with women. Whatever, you know, we don't really need to know. We just know that he has a hard time falling in love, or more so, you know,
maybe just acknowledging it.
You know, I think that's the bigger problem.
And so they go to the fantasy suite. They almost sort of awkwardly get engaged, because then there was some talk about, well, maybe we just leave here together, which I know I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but like, oh my God, we can leave here and still be dating? Shocking.
It's not, it almost makes it sound like, you know, these people think that, like, if we, you know, that somehow, it's like you think they signed a contract or something to not, the only way you leave here is if you, you know, are engaged. If
otherwise,
you just leave here, otherwise you can't be together
can't be
when
together.
You go home.
What, are you gonna date?
Yeah, right, no, that's just not possible.
And so they get engaged. And we think everything's fine because, you know, the glow of afterwards of, oh, we're engaged. Well, on After the Final Rose, Katie comes out without her ring on and talking about how she's exhausted and she just, it's like pulling teeth from him. And she keeps saying that her tank's empty. And with all the like 12-year-olds that are on the peanut gallery, I was really surprised we didn't get somebody a filled your tank joke, because
Jordan was good last night.
He was, and I was waiting for something from him maybe to sort of chime in with something like that. Thankfully, we didn't, but I was
probably, there was a little tension in the room at that point. You probably didn't want to step on it.
And so Chris
toes.
Comes out, and I don't know if maybe he couldn't hear what they were saying backstage, but he's all, yeah, this is great, everything's fine. And then Chris Harrison says, well, you know, she's not wearing a ring. Oh, yeah, why is that? Mm-hmm. Oh my God!
Played dumb almost.
Total. Well, and if I hope he's playing dumb, because otherwise it really was an ambush.
Yeah.
And so they sort of kiss and make up. He says all the right things, and then we see them on the back lot. How he's basically saying that, like, you crushed me. Like, I was ambushed.
Yeah, yeah.
And they sort of walk in different directions, and you think, oh, we never hear from them again the rest of the night. Well, for those of you that are curious, and if you're listening to this, I imagine you are.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, Chris took to Instagram with a picture of him feeding pizza Katie.
Yeah.
And love is tough, love is beautiful. Most importantly, love is patient. Sometimes you need a shock to the system to put a fire under your ass. What I felt then, I feel even more now. I love you, Katie Mo, and can't wait to feed you pizza for the rest of our lives. So they are still together. They are still engaged. She is still wearing the ring. All's well that ends well. So for the third time, will they, won't they? 1 year from now. Matt, the floor is yours.
I mean, sort of up in the air here again, but I'm trying to think here. Because this is it, right? Because this is three. There's really the only...
This is, yeah. I mean,
essentially.
We'll talk about Clay and Nicole in a minute.
Yeah, but these are the three remaining actual couples. I think no. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to be a skeptic, but I could just see this kind of just finally, you know, will they, won't they? And then just the flame just dying out and she's sick of it and he can't make up his mind. And eventually they're just like, maybe we go our separate ways.
Yeah, I agree. I'd love to be an optimist and sit here and say three for three. Everyone's happy. Love is great. All of that. But it was while she was sitting on the couch and she's talking about how watching it back, I thought I would be so into this love story and him trying to get me. And then forget about what you didn't see. Like, even just when he was around you, how could you ever think that he was all gaga for you? And so I didn't think he acted overly different when he was around other people. I thought he was sort of blah with her, without her. I didn't see a major difference. And so I was just sort of curious, like, wow, if you think what you even just saw was healthy,
right,
then there's clearly bigger issues here. And I know Chris was more comforting than anything, but like, yeah, relationships take work and it's difficult. And we've talked about this before, but a relationship shouldn't be that difficult.
Right.
Are there going to be challenges? Sure.
Yes,
obviously, nothing's perfect. But no relationship should be as difficult, as, especially one where it's on the beach in Mexico and you're being paid to be there.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, there's zero life in that relationship or, like, you know, real life issues. There should definitely shouldn't be that many problems there.
When you talk about the honeymoon period in a relationship, it doesn't get any better than
that. They're literally on a honeymoon before they're even really together. There's no stress. You're, like I said, you're being paid to be on a beach to make out and drink and eat and whatever. So once you actually get into real, actual struggles, that's where, okay, yeah, things, whether it's money or it's jobs or it's just normal life stuff.
That's where the real test comes
But no play. Relationship should be that much work.
Right.
I'll get off my soapbox in a minute, but it just shouldn't.
No,
and so for her to sort of almost seem surprised that she was exhausted and that this was difficult on her. Well, of course it is, because he's not giving you anything, but he didn't give you, this is not a change. He wasn't giving you anything on the beach.
Yeah. So I don't know why you're so surprised.
Yeah, so I have to, listen, I'm pulling for them. She seems awesome. Chris, other than when he was a douche to her, seems like a good guy. I hope it works out for them, but I can't go three for three. And not just because I'd love to. But it's just, I don't see it. I'm surprised they're still together, to be honest with you. I thought when they walked away from each other on the lot, I said, oh, they finally figured it out. That this just doesn't mesh. It should not be that difficult. And nope, they're still together, feeding each other pizza.
Yeah.
Which is probably the most lovey-dovey thing we've seen from them.
I think you're right.
In the last month.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Geez. And that does bring us to the third couple.
Well, because again, in my...
Your fourth
I think
couple.
I said this last week. Chris and Clay, they kind of reminded me of one another from the standpoint that, you know, every time they were posed a question by the female, they just had that strained look on their face.
Yeah. Zero emotion in the response, even when the few times either of them said the right thing. Because multiple times both of them said the wrong thing.
For sure.
And Katie and Nicole heard something else because they still responded positively. And
no, you're right.
I don't get it.
You're
but
right.
Clay and Nicole, as
Clay's
we said,
like he wanted to leave there, right? Sort of together, but didn't want to move in together, didn't want to get engaged, which is fine. That's all fine. He just wanted to basically do what you're suggesting. leave there as a couple.
And see what happens.
And she wasn't down for that for a second.
Yeah, this was so bizarre because I also, much like Chris and Katie, I never thought that this was going to happen, whether they got engaged or not. Like,
I'm surprised they made it to the end. That was the probably out of the four couples, I figured, you know, I figured they were right on the fringe anyway.
Well, because I had to wonder, what was she thinking? Like, what was she seeing? Because like you said, I still think
his whole time while he was there, I really do think that in the background, you sort of see Angela start getting cuddled up with another guy. Forget who it was. But, you know, I'm just trying to picture them in real time, the two of them actually there. And he probably realized that, you know, she really wasn't into him anymore, Angela. I think mainly. She was kind of beyond it. I don't think he ever was. I think he wanted her back. I think if he really saw an opportunity where he could have won her back, he would have made his play, and he would have left her behind. And I think that he knew that if he left her and went for Angela, he could have came up empty-handed on both ends, and it would have just played out a lot differently. And I think he figured he would end up going home. So I think he took the safe bet by staying with her. I really do. When the whole time he's really like looking out of his peripheral vision, like, what's she doing? Should I? Oh, it's probably not a good idea. I'll just stay put where I am. But I think he really wanted to get back with his ex, but it just didn't seem like it was happening. So he stuck it out with her thinking that. And she was essentially, I think, a backup plan. I really do.
Yeah, well, I mean, he treated her that way.
That's the way it felt to me all the way through.
And so that's why, you know, they go to about to go to the fantasy suites, and Clay says, you know, I think I need the time so that we could, you know, think about things. And she's blindsided.
Yeah.
And to just go back to one of my favorite phrases, like, is this your first day?
Yeah, right.
Like, this is Clay. Clay, Nicole, meet each other because apparently you've missed the last month.
That's true.
And so for her to act so shocked that, where did this come from? You mean the guy that you could barely have a conversation with anytime you were talking about being serious or feelings?
You had to drag anything you got out of him.
And the fact that she was still after that willing to get engaged to him just blew my friggin' mind. And so they're on the beach and she's still there like waiting for an engagement. And again, I don't like anything that really how he acted, but he was as honest as you'll probably get from him. Sure. He says, I'm not there, but why don't we just go and figure it out?
That's right. You can't blame him for being honest. You really can't. And again, like, you know, I think back to my time, like your body language, I was like, man, I should have made it a bigger point to say I'm not interested. But, you know, read the body language, you know, like everything looks like it was a strain for him.
And he still offered, by the way, to leave in a relationship. Yeah. So it's not even as if he said, oh, no, you know what? This is just not going to work. He said he was falling in love with her and that it's the most he's ever said to someone before and that he still wanted to date her. But she literally pushed him away and said no and left.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And it took her off guard. I mean, what do you expect? I think there are some guys, I don't care if it's The Bachelorette or BIP, like, you know, you're sort of aware of the fact that, man, if this pans out, is she going to want me to propose? Because I really like her, but I don't know that I'm there. I don't know that I can do that. You know, I mean, you're a little intimidated by that whole idea. And I think that was part of Clay's issue the whole time, too. He's like, you know, I like this girl, but I'm not ready. Especially if he was that close and talking about marriage with Angela and all that. You know, maybe just...
And after 8 months.
Yeah, right, right.
And he's still fresh off of that.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe to get, you know, to fast forward to that same point with her just wasn't going to be feasible for him. And so, you know, he gives her best case scenario. And she just seems so angry about it and so caught off guard. But
she also had lines ready, though.
Yeah.
Because
Oh, for sure.
I deserve a love so deep the ocean would be jealous.
Cool. Yeah, I wanted to bring that up.
That
was awkward. It's cringeworthy. Almost.
She totally had that in her back pocket. That was not off the top of her head. She read it like she was reading it off a piece of paper. So she clearly
it's awkward though. Like
she had that after the no fantasy suite. She probably said, "Okay, if this goes south, I need a zinger."
Yeah, and what am I going to the ocean and say?
What am I going to come up with? Like, oh, I need a love that'll make the ocean jealous. Oh, it's so deep. I'm like, oh man.
Give me
and
a break.
So I've had so many issues with both of them, and so maybe you can say they deserve each other, but she did not do herself any favors here either.
No.
So afterwards, we find out, and I was so blended between watching these people on Twitter and Instagram and the show. So I don't know if they mentioned on the show or if it's just from social media, but she does have a new boyfriend.
She does.
So for all the talk about Clay being quick to move on, she was clearly quick to move on for someone that she was ready to be engaged to.
No kidding.
Let alone talking about engagement. She was ready for an engagement and only broke up because she didn't get an engagement. And he was there. Because if you notice, we didn't see him on After the Final Rose.
Because I missed bits and pieces of last night. And that was the one thing that we didn't really get a lot of.
Well, so if you just watched the show, you didn't see him.
Right, right.
But he went on, again, to social media and said, I was there. I was on the couch with Nicole. We recorded a whole segment.
Which happens.
Cutting room floor.
Yeah,
he said there wasn't really any fireworks. He apologized. People were trying to burn him. He's like, haha, she already has a new guy. He said, I'm happy for her. Like, I hope she finds what she's looking for.
Which points, even more towards the fact that he probably, I don't know, my feeling is he was just never quite there with her.
Yeah, but whether he was or not.
And like I said, he was still hung up on his ex.
Yeah.
So that would mean a lot more towards, that would point a lot more towards this idea that she was the rebound.
He could have leaned into, by the way, because after the show, he could have went that route and been like, hey, you know what? I'm glad you found a new guy. I'm still waiting for a girl that lives up to Angela. Like, he could have been such a jerk.
Yeah.
And that would have been out of character, but he could have.
Yeah,
and
he stayed consistent.
And she would have been crushed because, as you saw, it didn't take much throughout the season to get her crying.
I know.
And it makes you a jerk to even try, but he could have.
He could have tried to make it sting.
He multiple times has been like, I'm happy for her.
Yeah. And you got to remember, too, like, this happened in May. Early June. Late May, early June. That's when all this took place. We're here in September now. So we're talking 3 months fast forward. He probably already knew about her moving on. So he's prepared for that. And, he's had some time. And I just don't think the two of them were really meant to be. I really firmly believe he was a little hung up on his ex still. She was the rebound. And, especially when Angela showed up on that beach, I think it was difficult for him. She worked out as a nice distraction. But I just, my opinion, I could be way off base. But I think that that's just a case if you see two people, she was more into it than he was. And in the end, she was really wanting a relationship. She would have taken it with him, obviously. But she's just at a point in her life where if it wasn't him, it was going to be the next guy. And he was like, you know what? That's fine. It wasn't meant to be, and we both go our separate ways.
And it could just be she's ready to actually ready to settle down, and he's not. And that's fine.
And he's not. And I think the timing, he just broke up with Angela before he got to the beach.
He probably thought he was.
Yeah, and I think it was a lot of him telling himself he was.
Because once
a lot of times it is with guys, too. Like, we don't realize a good thing until it's gone. And women, they do give more. They kind of, step up to the plate a little sooner than guys do. And then it gets to a point where they sort of exhaust themselves putting forth the effort.
This is bros talking about the Bachelorette or Bachelor or whatever. But we know women, by and large, are more emotionally developed.
Sure,
they're smarter. I can go down the list. They're better everything. And
1,000%,
Most of the time, though, they're the ones carrying the load here.
Absolutely.
I'm carrying this relationship. You want to chime in a little bit? And again, doesn't mean it needs to be difficult. Never should. But they're the ones doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself.
And so Clay just doesn't want to be any part of that.
Yeah.
That's all. He's just he's going to go on his way maybe a few years down the road when he's a little older, a little more mentally into it.
It could be next year back on Paradise.
We could see. Yeah. And so after the rest is just all after the final rose, and we can sort of do round robin. You know, Jordan and Christian, they had to have security out there.
That was a little sick.
And I'm glad that Jordan took my advice and said he was just defending himself with the pinata incident, which Mike, I love Mike, but did not love him last night. I thought he sort of tried to interject when he didn't really need to. Bro, you weren't. And I was like, can't you just like, you don't need to back either of them, but like maybe don't say no.
There's a little bit of a fizzled out feel about Mike because he didn't have much to do with the finale.
No, he had no one's back. Really, he was really just there to try to send people down. Like, no, that's not how it was. Or just do this. Like, just apologize already. Like,
not a great showing.
Like, come on, back someone up. Like, and I'm not saying back someone up that you don't believe in, but like, find a horse and back the horse. Yeah. You know, like whether it's Kaylin in the Blake thing, instead of going anti-Blake, go pro Kaylin. Like, you got this girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of like. You know what I mean? More positive than negative, which has been Mike's MO. Has been more positive than negative, and it seemed different last night.
Yeah. Well, it's always been, with Mike too, has been he keeps it real. So I think that's kind of the role was playing, like giving you the reality of the situation, you know, this is how it really went down. But yeah, I mean, he didn't, in the end, have a relationship, really, that, you know, was a issue that could be discussed. There was no woman there who he was really connected to.
Could he have just been bummed he wasn't the Bachelor?
Could be.
Maybe he had a sour, these guys are making me sit here.
Could be.
When I think, should be the star.
I think that's a great insight.
And I don't think any of us would have argued with him. I certainly was Team Mike from day one, so.
I think that's really a really good insight into what could have been going on, because he probably just found out, you know, that could have been a couple days, could have been that afternoon, who knows. But, yeah, I mean, there was a little bit of a sour
which feel hopefully has gone away, because I don't know if you heard, but, you know, there had been this sort of the online flirting between him and Demi Lovato. And
that's
apparently
really happening.
Yeah,
right?
Apparently they went on a date, and it's how far it goes, but, like, good for him.
Good for him.
She's awesome. I mean, you know, I work for a radio station, and we play her a ton, and we've done stuff with her, and she's just as genuine as they come. And as you see, she's had plenty of you know, obstacles that she's wide open about, and she's a strong-ass woman. Yeah. He's a strong-ass man. Like, God bless. Like,
yeah, that's everything works out for a reason, you know? Works out the way it does for a reason. And he's not the Bachelor. I mean, it's a little, again, when are they going to find the perfect dude, the perfect, you know, man of color to play the lead? I don't know. We'll see. You know, I mean, I feel like that was about as good as it gets. But one of these years, they're going to have to just throw somebody in there and try it.
But, I mean,
won't be the year.
I would say Mike still ends up a winner if he's... He's with someone like Demi.
Fine.
Like, okay.
He's fine. No, I mean, he may be even better off in some ways. You know?
I mean, I'm not going to argue with that.
Right?
God bless you, Mike.
He's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. Everybody's going to be fine. We're going to have a new Bachelor in a few months.
Well, before we get to that, because we will talk about Pete, but you mentioned something that I think we need to address, and that's that, well, everything works out for a reason. Maybe you can explain this reason to me behind Tayshia and JPJ.
Oh, yeah. How could we forget? Oh, I'm sorry. Let's back it up here a minute.
So Tayshia reveals to Chris Harrison that as soon as she went home, she regretted
made a mistake.
It. And her mother talked her into flying
to
Maryland to go to JPJ's house, which is his parents' house. I mean, he's a 24-year-old.
Wasn't sure, but I remember seeing when the first shot was at the outside of the house. I'm like, no, that's your parents'
house. It's either
house.
A staged house or it's his parents' house.
Could
it's
be. That's the other possibility.
It's his parents'
it
house. Like,
staged.
Let's be clear. It's his parents'
house.
Yeah. But she goes after him and remove the JPJ portion or whoever it is. I think it's great. Like, go after what you want. But I just don't get it. I didn't get it then. I don't get it now. So everything happens for a reason. Maybe you can tell me what that reason
is. Maybe after the show, we can put our heads together and try to figure it out.
You need to explain this to me. How does this happen? Because guess what? They're a thing now.
They're a thing.
What?
They're a total thing.
What?
So here's the biggest, really, this is, if I was torn on the other relationships, this is the one that you really got to scratch your head and maybe even take another day or two to decide whether or not you think it'll work between the two of them. Because I still don't see it, but I think the fact that we don't see it is why it works, because it's just so random. You know, I mean, it's so...
I was trying last night to find some unique comparable, because we did earlier in the year say, well, you know, Evan and Carly sort of worked out and he was going after her for a while.
Polar opposites.
But they were also both weird. Like, they were still both weird.
Everybody, you know, when I was on the show, people would always talk about that they were just so quirky that they're... It was inevitable that their paths would cross.
Yeah, that's one of those things that once it happened, because during it, you know, and you can go, if you're real bored, you can go listen to our episodes from that season. And it was like, dude, give it up. What do you do? You're pathetic, whatever. But then it worked.
It worked.
And then at the end of the season, you said, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I see it now.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to wait longer, like you said. I don't see this. No.
Because there's nothing quirky about her.
No, she's...
She's Tayshia.
Yeah, I don't have a better explanation either. Yeah. And he's JPJ.
I do think that there's something to be said for the kind of conservative, monotone half of the relationship paired with the other half that's sort of a wild card. Like, okay, let me draw a comparison. Demi is sort of over the top, out there. And Christian is sort of just home base. Like, she's the anchor. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Whereas if he's a wild man and she's this calming influence.
Okay. So maybe he's the Demi.
That's the balance.
Okay.
Maybe that's the balance.
I guess. That's the best, I guess, that I've heard.
But I just also think that there's this possibility that, like, I don't know.
Maybe it's...
Some, like... You know, there was this country singer that ended up with one of the girls from a couple seasons ago. I feel like some A-lister is just going to come in.
Chris Lane and Lauren Bushnell.
I don't know. I'm just thinking, like, you know, NBA player maybe just swoops in and just, I don't know. I could just, he's really, I feel like.
Oh, he's way over his head.
But he's like. If he were to, there are some
and
guys.
And he's the one being pursued. How does that happen?
Well, it's crazy.
Because I mean, he should probably be.
Maybe he played it right. Maybe he just walked off that beach and was like, I'm only playing this game for keeps. And you're not ready for it? That's fine. I still have love for you, but I'm out of here. And he just like, that was a bold move, but it was a shock to the system that she needed. It worked out for her.
And I mean, I should be very excited about him.
Taking notes is what you should be
totally
doing.
Totally. In the end, he's with Tayshia. For now. And it makes no sense, but...
But again, I think that's why it makes sense, because it just makes no sense.
Well, I can't... You know, they weren't technically an official couple, but also, like, I can't see them still together a year from now. I just can't. Yeah. I'm sorry. There's no possible way that I can put... And I get what you're saying. Maybe it's just so crazy it works. And
yeah, but it still has a very flingish feel to it. So, like, maybe...
Because they already met the families.
It's fun for the moment. You know, it's fun for the moment. But then maybe once she's seen every little quirk of his, then maybe she's like, okay, I've had enough. And she moves on to bigger and better things. But, I mean, there are some... I do feel like when you have... You see this all the time. I don't care, you know, out to dinner, at the bar, at the dog park, anywhere. Like, you see the guy who is just, you know, hit a home run. You can't really explain how he did it. But
you just sort of give him a good life.
But he's not really like, I more times than not, like, that guy, he's got that, like, serious look on his face, almost like he's trying to... play it off like, you know, I'm supposed to be here.
Avi.
You know what I mean? And those two, you know, it works out for them, and maybe it lasts, maybe it doesn't. But I think in this situation, we've all watched the guy here who's just sort of been very open about the fact, like, is this really happening? You know, in that That's wild true. Man kind of way, that, like, just outlandish personality of his. Like, he's just like, I don't know how I'm here, and I don't know how long I'm going to last, but I'm going to go with it. You know what I mean? And she's into it for now. We'll see if it lasts. But will they, won't they? I don't
Final
know.
Answer.
I don't know. Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
Like, let's, we sure, look at the optimist. Like, yeah, maybe so crazy they work, but yeah, it's probably not going to work.
Probably not.
But God bless.
I just don't. I
My
really,
hat
I think,
is off to him.
I think they are probably... I mean, if they are together, I think you'll certainly see them back next year, because they're going to say, like, if these two made it, anybody can make it.
Listen, if this couple ends up being a thing, like married, kids, the whole, you will never not see these two.
All right.
Ever.
Because they'll be around all the time.
Well, and I mean, they'll make like the best looking babies, first of all.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I'll ever get to that point, but oh my God.
Yeah.
And they're just both, I mean, he's always going to make for a fun 5 minutes in front of the camera.
For sure.
You know, when he's not screaming at someone, he's fun. So that will be a thing if they're a thing. But I just can't. I can't. Maybe because my head will explode if I try to. Speaking of.
For your sake, let's hope they're not.
Speaking of, Kaylin and Dean still together.
You know, Dean was like barely on the after show, right?
Yeah, they did not have a lot of Dean time.
I was just thinking back to like my. I remember the Men Tell All, and Dean was just like, he was the focal point of the whole thing. And then I'm like, fast forward 2 years later, here's Dean with a much different look. I remember Dean like had the tux on and the printed jacket, and he was like, you know, all eyes on him. Here he was last night with that like cowboy style.
Yeah, he didn't even take.
He was just, you know, maybe it was by design. He was very. Quiet.
I thought he'd take a bigger beating contained. For the birthday thing and for, you know, screwing with Connor like that. And it was more just she apologized to Connor, like, oh, I'm really sorry for that. But that was it. And we didn't really hear from Dean again. You know, with this came the rehashing and the relitigating of the Blake and the text messages thing.
Oh, yeah. How could we? Yeah, and, we have to get there.
You know, part of this, listen, it's super complicated. And I get that. And generally speaking, of course you shouldn't release private text messages.
I think that's the one thing we can all agree on. That was just him in a you know, panic and not really thinking straight. You know?
And I hate to do it, but I'm going to have to defend him a little bit here. And that's because while he's saying this, and I thought he was very honest, he said, if I came on this stage and said, no, guys, she was lying... She was texting me, basically forcing herself, you know, into my apartment.
Nobody was
which, and again, he still went along. It takes two to tango. But he said, I would have been laughed off this stage. And you know what? He was 100%
right. Oh, I agree with that.
And then, but on the flip side, she's, you know, she isn't owning the fact at all. Like, they didn't even mention the fact that what those text messages showed was that she lied on the beach and made accusations that weren't true. And... So all she said was, I'm sorry for blowing up and the emotions got the best of me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not okay for the emotions to get the best of Blake to release a text message. He shouldn't have done it. But they both did what they did. They acted out because they were emotional.
Hurt, yeah.
Yeah, they were hurt. And so her emotions got the best of her and she sort of made the story change. Whereas he... release text messages just to see I'm not this isn't true. And as much as it pains me, like
I agree with that. I do agree with that.
It wasn't fair to him to just so you're saying you'd rather him not tell his side of the story, or at least because none of myself included, I wouldn't have believed him.
Well,
you're telling me?
I think there's just like some sort of unspoken rule that, like, you know, she's the lady in the situation, and she's and like her, you're supposed to take the high road, you know. Even she mentions, oh, my 5 a.m. text message, you're not supposed to release my 5 a.m. text messages, but it's never this thought that like maybe you should have restrain yourself from sending the 5 a.m. text messages. It's like this unspoken rule that you're not supposed to release those. Those are private. But, you know, you can throw any shade you want his way. So, I mean, it is a little bit of a lopsided sort of double standard deal. I mean, I still think, I get what he's saying. I think he's right. If you were to get up on that stage, everybody just would have been like, whatever, you're
myself
trying to save
included.
Your ass.
Absolutely. Yeah. I said, no way that happened. Like, it just...
It still would have... It's tough because you could say, well, for him, it would have behooved him to have taken the high road. But how would anybody know that he's taken the high road?
That's what I'm saying. So how would it have? Because... So either you vilify him if he doesn't release it, and even if he does tell his side of the story, or tries to... So he's vilified for being a lying misogynist who sweet-talked this girl to get her into bed.
What a
jerk. How could you do that? Or he releases these text messages that show, well, that wasn't the case at all.
Yeah.
And he's killed, again, rightfully so, because you shouldn't do that. But I get it. Like, he's up there, you know, on national TV basically being called, you know, this player who, you know, just lied to get me into bed. Well, no.
That didn't happen
at all.
She was coming on to me so strong that I really couldn't fight it anymore.
Well, I don't want to.
But I mean, you could have never invited. You could have never said come over.
Yeah, you could have just said go away.
But the part of it that, you know, we can all agree on is the fact that she was sending him those texts, with the understanding that it was just a hookup.
Yeah.
Right, so for him to go along with that, I think.
So I just didn't think it was fair to pile on him about, well, don't release text messages, which I will agree you should never do. But then at the same time, we have to look at her and say, it's not cool not once did they mention the fact that she lied.
Yeah, right.
About the entire exchange, it was more just I feel attacked because you released those text messages, and it was well. While she didn't deny what was in it, well, they were, you know, you didn't release them all or whatever. Like,
because
everyone was piling on Blake because it's sort of low hanging fruit. Oh, well, you released them that made her look in a bad light when she could release text messages that make you.
I actually think he did because they were all not even, even all the guys were like, dude, just to pop. I think maybe what the guys were more saying is like, dude, let's just move on.
Yes. And that's
like, you're only going to create more trouble for yourself. Yeah. But like, again, it would have never been this big of an issue if she just in the back of her mind told herself, I was, you know, just as much about this.
Well, and it was just no big deal. Like,
so
and it wasn't.
Let me step back.
Yeah.
Let me not create all that, but then probably wouldn't be a candidate for Bachelor in Paradise.
That's very possible.
You know what I mean? Like, you bring the drama to the beach, and that's what we're hoping for, and that's what we're all there to watch.
And the thing is, as he did throughout this whole time, he did make it worse by not ever. He still didn't apologize at the end.
I was just like the guys were saying, I was like, dude. Just say you're sorry for your involvement in this whole ordeal.
And so I will say, and I'm happy, because if you listen, I'm always happy to throw Blake under the bus. But I thought it was unfair that he was damned if he did, damned if he didn't.
Yeah.
And then there was sort of a double standard because no one was holding Kaylin's feet to the fire for, you know, for the lies that she wasn't disputing.
Yeah.
Instead, she just said, well, you know, I'm sorry for blowing up on the beach.
Right.
Not for, oh, I'm sorry for lying about what happened with us and making it seem like, you know, you sweet talked me into bed.
Yeah.
And so they were both clearly in the wrong. I just thought they were sort of attacked very differently. And much like we've seen, I'm with the guys. He should have just said, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Because, get it over with. Move on.
Yeah. Because whether it was necessary or not, and that's a whole different conversation, I guess, it wasn't right. And so you should say, listen, I needed to get the story out there because no one would believe me, but I'm sorry. And I realized that it wasn't something someone should do, and I hope you'll forgive me. That's it.
Move on.
But it just rubbed me the wrong way that.
Well, she was kind of given the get out of jail free card, and he was just like, had no choice but to live in this freaking nightmare that he created for himself.
He did, absolutely.
But like, he couldn't break out of it. You know, I mean, and I'm sure. Even that, though, the fact that he went through the whole paradise, you know, he made money, a lot of TV time. I'm sure it was strenuous. I'm sure it was difficult. I'm sure it was emotional. But if you didn't want to be there, you could have pulled your plug at any time. If you really, if it was unbearable for you, you could have went home. But I pretty much believe that it wasn't him holding out hope, you know, for really for to meet the person. I mean, it was just, he was there. I mean, why do you really want to leave that situation? You're getting paid, like you said, to be on the beach, to have a lot of fun, to you know, be on vacation and possibly meet somebody. But you're going to be on television. Like, if it was that brutal for you, then leave. I mean, do you agree with that? Kind of like,
yeah,
you could have walked away at any time.
At any time.
If it was killing you.
Yeah.
You know?
And both of them could have, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, let's not make, let's really not try to sell this whole story that I was there on this, you know, journey to you know, find myself and you know, move beyond my demons. I mean, you were there for the reasons you were there for. Let's face it. It was too good to pass up. It was too good to go home. Because if it was really this difficult, you could have left at any time. Nobody's keeping you there. So I think there were definitely points, you know, if you look back at his time in Paradise, that he probably could have just cut his losses and left.
He probably should have.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing with Christina, that was him trying to convince himself. I mean, I feel like he really knew that ship had sailed too, you know, and there was so much heat on him. It probably just would have been a good idea to have been like, you know,
I'm going to remove myself from this.
Yeah. But he didn't. So, you know, he kind of, you know, the outcome, even though it's a tough spot to be in, you made your bed, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
hope he changed the sheets to use the line.
Well, because, I mean, he could have let, like, listen, things change so rapidly, too. You know, we watched so much of this unfold that, like, when it all really, the really bad period was like the first quarter of the season for him. And we might have forgotten about that, or for the most part, we would have moved on to bigger and better things. And so he could have left. He might have not even really been a, you know, there really probably wouldn't have even been a huge reason for him. I guess the text messages and everything. But we would have just, you know, three quarters of the show later, we might have, this whole thing might have died down a little bit. But the fact that he did stick around, and now that he's on the after show, he just opened himself up to a lot of...
Well, because he basically took a shot with basically every girl that was there, more or less.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right until the end.
But he took the shot, it was quick, though. You know what I mean? I think if he... My feeling is if he just took all those shots early, realizes that none of them landed, and went home and left and didn't release the text messages, that we might have all moved on by now. You know, but the whole text messaging thing was one of the, you know, top few stories of the whole season. But so, you know, we couldn't help but still circle back to all that, but
it was sort of very in character. I mean, very, you know, it made sense. Like, he just,
I mean,
one thing after another. Like,
you know, okay. What I thought was a great point that Chris Harrison made was, I've never seen a quicker fall from grace. And I think we alluded to that early on. It was like, he was pretty much depicted as a really good guy.
Everybody wanted to meet Blake.
Everybody, you know, and then, or you know it, everybody couldn't get far enough away from Blake.
So radioactive.
You know, so he was a victim of his own demise. That's I think, above all else, a fact. Last night, was that a tough spot to be in? Hell yeah, it was. And you know, there's a little bit of a double standard. Sure, we could pick that apart. But I feel like, you know, like a lot of the guys, again, they were just like, dude, you're not going to win this battle. You
just
know?
Apologize.
Just apologize and let's move on, because we've all wanted to been to, we all wanted to move on a long time ago, you know. But let's look at the majority of the show's following is a female fan base. Like, you're not going to win here. You know what I mean? Is it true that she was coming on to you very strongly, and that she was just as guilty as you were? Yeah, I see your point. I think most of us did. I think probably even most people there agree that, you know,
right,
they were both to blame. It takes two to tango.
I think you were right, though. It was like, let's move on.
Let's move on.
Say
again,
say
like, that's what I'm saying. It happened so long
ago. Say you're sorry.
It happened so long ago.
We move on. And
We learn. We live and we learn.
We live and we learn. And one quick thing before we get to Pete and sort of a preview of the next season of The Bachelor. We all remember the famous rose ceremony. Luke tries to give out his rose. Bree turns him down.
Uh-huh.
And then, does anyone want the rose? Well, Luke decided to post to his Instagram and said, listen, I don't normally, I don't want to nitpick. He said, but that never happened. And if you look at the clip, it's just as Chris is saying that, does anyone want Luke's rose? It's all just on the people standing there. And so he is claiming that that was all in post-production and that it went from, this has never happened before, say your goodbyes. And that the, does anyone want Luke's rose, was never said in front of everybody else.
Interesting. I believe it.
Well, and the fact that wouldn't Chris or someone have from the show have been like, this dude's crazy. Like, he absolutely said it. So
they're just going to let it go away.
Yeah,
basically.
Because who the hell cares who
Luke
is?
Yeah, like, but
that was
interesting.
Friggin' cold.
Yeah, but I believe it.
Talk about piling on. Sure. Like, the dude just got rejected. And
imagine sitting home and seeing that and all your friends and buddies and being like,
oh my God, dude, I'm so sorry. No one wanted your rose?
And I could just see him, I can just see anybody being like, what?
Yeah, exactly. So he posted it. And again, you can see all the stuff we talk about on at Bachelor Podcast on Instagram. But we're ready. Pilot Pete, he's flying in. He's ready.
Ready for takeoff.
Ready for takeoff. I'm sure we're going to hear all of the puns. They're going to be Mile High Club jokes.
Yeah. I think that might have even been what put it over the top.
Oh, just when they start, I think next week, when they start bringing these people in, they're going to be people dressed like pilots. They're going to be people who are, bring the wings to put on him. We might even get someone in a plane costume.
I really think that had a lot to do with him being chosen. I mean, it's certainly, process of elimination. Obviously, we see the one guy. Well, how quickly we forget.
Yeah. Well, Tyler,
I mean, how do you say no to a supermodel?
Yeah, that was gone.
And then Mike, I don't know, maybe he'd have been better off not going on Paradise.
Hey, if he ends up with Demi Lovato, cha-ching.
God bless him.
Good job.
One way or another, we have Pete.
Yes. Listen, we talked about it throughout the season of The Bachelorette. And while I preferred Mike, I thought Pete was a good good option.
Yeah, sure.
He's a safe option.
Safe, for sure.
But
safe all the way.
I think the aw shucks thing will work very well for the show.
The aw shucks with the windmill.
Oh, God.
I think that coming out
sides, sure,
also gave him a solid boost.
A lot of windmill jokes,
because he's the
aw-shucks
guy, but
someone's going to be dressed like a windmill.
Oh,
that too.
For sure.
That's a good point. You get both sides of that. You get the aw-shucks like guy next door, but then also like four times in a windmill.
A little bit of a bad boy.
What's up?
Yeah, right.
It's January 6th, so we get a little bit of a respite.
Thank God.
You get some of the brain cells back building up. You don't have to watch any of these for a little bit. But I think it'll be fun. It'll be a good time. I'm hoping.
Got a little bit of Ben Higgins in him. I do agree with that. So,
and that's all they're doing. They're just trying to find their Ben. So if this is Ben as a pilot, touchdown.
It's basically Ben 2.0.
Successful. Yeah. We don't know if that's going to be the case, but the women who are going to be on the show are pretty much out there already.
Yeah.
Which I assume
that happens sooner and sooner every year.
Totally. And I think, we were talking a little bit about this before the show. I assume it's ABC trying to get ahead of anything obvious that they missed in vetting, because every year they're missing stuff. And so they said, you know what? Let's give us a week. The names are out there. If anything comes up before that first limo pulls up, we can yank them out of the show. No harm, no foul. We don't have another Jed. We don't have a Garrett. We don't have one of these situations where someone goes all the way to the end and there's just this anvil hanging over their head like, oh my God, they liked what on Instagram?
Yeah.
They tweeted what 3.5 years ago?
Yeah.
Like,
chances are you are going to get something.
You would think. Coming, and so if anyone will find it, it is the public.
Absolutely.
Because every year they find something, whether it's false outrage or like actual outrage. There's going to be something.
They're
so
just going to find something.
We got a break, but this was a fun season.
Yeah, a lot of fun. I like being back here.
Yeah, and so, Matt, thank you for filling in all the time for Katie. I know you like to visit us, but to come in every week I know is a lot, so thank you very much.
A lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
At @Matt_Munson_. Mm-hmm. Got to follow along with this guy between seasons.
I got to start posting. I just kind
of
went dead.
Yeah, you need way more of the puppy.
Need some stuff.
You need you and your girl out on the town. I mean, you guys are like local celebrities. We need to see some content from you.
I guess you're right. I might get back on the Instagram. That probably took a summer hiatus.
There you go. Well, I mean, you were so busy with this. Soon.
Yeah.
And at Bachelor Podcast, which, true. I mean, there's just constant stuff up there about, you would have seen the Luke clip, the text messages that they talked about are up there, so you can scroll through those. But thank you for listening. Hope you'll stick with us when we're back here in January.
Everybody enjoy their break till then.
Yes. Get those brain cells back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.